This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on.
You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
I should know it's on.
It's on.
I've never, ever, ever wished another man happy Valentine's Day. Let's do it. All right, man. So here we are again. Backstage Joe, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas?
How's I love having you. I love when you are on the mic.
I don't.
I
something
love it, man.
Is
it's always. Yeah, it's always something.
I told y'all.
Oh, he got something cooked up.
Uh-oh.
You better believe it.
Everybody that listens to this show understands there's some sort
when
of.
He come, when Backstage Joe comes up, you know we got something. Yeah.
Diabolical scheme, some kind of planning.
It's something important.
Gene and I were talking the other day, and as we migrate into this podcast, once we get past the banter and get into it and who we're talking to, all this will tie together. And, you know, just music. I mean, we all love music.
Yes,
whatever,
sir.
Whatever kind you like, whatever style, genre, singer, we all like them.
And Backstage, you're eclectic, too.
Man, I go back. So you know, back in the day when Backstage Joe might have been a little bit athletic, you can Google it. So
A little bit.
Every game before I stepped out on the mound when I was pitching was Eric B. and Rakim microphone fiend. Now that like
that, how, and that how, was obviously after the fries.
Yes, it was after.
Go back to an old banter, folks.
It was
you'll
after
be able
the
to
fries.
Catch
yes, there's a lot of tie-ins here. But so just like as I look across at you guys, you know, G, Steve, like, you know, old school, you know, hip hop, rap, R&B, whatever you like. You know, when you start looking back, we all know the Ice Cubes, the Dr. Dre's,
Outkast.
You know, Eric B, Outkast, you know, Beastie Boys.
Flavor Flav,
Public Enemy, another one. Rebel Without a Pause. Woo.
Look at you.
So, with that being said, I wanted to test my two brothers' rap game knowledge.
Okay. Oh, I'm about to fail.
So
you don't have any hip hop.
You
don't
even know what it's about yet.
Right,
man. You might be good.
I know my limitations.
You know your limitations.
Yeah.
So what is it, like West Coast only? Because you're a West Coast dude.
Yeah. But I don't keep up with it as much.
You talking about current stuff or just overall?
Because
you know old
I know
stuff.
All the old school.
I know
the old school. I don't necessarily know the names. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh,
proceed.
So you don't know names.
Well, yeah.
He just dismissed me. Proceed. Look. So I got five questions here, so we just don't drag on our audience too long. Each question's going to have three rap names in it.
Dang.
One of them's going to be real.
And the other two are?
Ones I've made up. Now, this is...
You're racist.
Why's he got to be racist?
Because he made them up. He made them up.
Let me check off MC White. So, my disclaimer on this is... I made these names up.
Did Ava help you?
No, this is
okay.
This is me. So anybody out there with your YouTube rap name that I might not have seen online, I don't mean any disrespect.
Okay.
I'm not stealing it. I don't want to go Instagram Live and get beat up because this is your real rap name.
We ain't gonna let you get beat up. No way.
So I hope they're not. So again, three rap names.
Okay.
One of them's real. Two of them ain't.
And we both have to answer.
We don't have a buzzer.
Right.
No buzzer.
I mean, yeah, we don't.
Yeah.
All right. So question one.
All right.
Krispy Kreme. Number two, DJ DQ or Burger Buddha.
Which
one is a real rap name? Mr. Smith.
Burger Buddha.
And I'll go with, what was the second option?
DJ DQ.
I'll go with DJ DQ.
You're both wrong. There's a rapper called Krispy Kreme.
How is, like, is copyright infringement?
I don't know about spelling.
Right.
I'm just...
Ethnicity?
Krispy Kreme?
I don't know about ethnicity. I just looked up...
There's really a rapper named Krispy.
Krispy Kreme. You can look it up.
It was his... I'm guessing his ethnicity is not the color shade I am.
There's a lot of donut options out there.
Yeah. I hope there's no brother named Krispy Kreme. DJ Krispy Kreme.
Oh, he just changed his name. He's now Froggy Fresh. I'm on Google.
Oh, that's a non-brother. Almost. And he has, I think, a marijuana tattoo on his chest.
That's not
that gave it away.
I don't know what that is, but
or whatever. Anyway,
it's
I
terrible.
Still won.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Question two.
All right.
Choice one. Backsplash P.
The way they just
choice number two, Sugar Tongue Slim.
What?
That's a brother. Go ahead. Sugar Tongue.
And choice number three is Da Grind Boy.
Da Grind Boy.
That's real.
That's yeah, real. That's
you're
real.
Both wrong again.
Backsplash P.
Sugar Tongue Slim.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad.
I was at Home Depot doing some repairs, and I thought about Backsplash P.
Sugar Tongue Slim?
Look him up. Sugar Tongue Slim.
That's a brother.
It's Sugar Tongue.
He probably believes he's fire with it. That's why he came with that shit.
It is.
A brother, huh?
He abbreviates sometimes STS.
What?
Sometimes he abbreviates
That's how you do it, STS. Yeah. All right, ready?
I know my peoples.
So right now, if I add up y'all's score, it's zero.
No,
man.
I said sugar.
No,
you
man.
Didn't. No, you did not.
You said Da Grind Boy. Y'all were both like y'all won the lottery.
My bad.
Y'all were excited about Da Grind Boy.
I was.
That's Backstage Joe making it up.
Backsplash.
I'm gonna try to get through this one.
All right, let's
go.
All right.
Third question.
Yeah.
Photo Fresh. FTZ Ice.
What?
Or the last one, Fruit Quan.
I hope it ain't Fruit Quan.
I'm gonna go with Fruit Quan. That's real.
Steve?
FTZ.
What was the first one?
What's the first one?
Photo Fresh with an F.
Yeah, I'm gonna do Photo Fresh.
It's Fruit Quan.
Oh, I'm on the board.
It's a brother name.
I'm on the board.
Fruit Quan. Fruit Quan. Say it with
I'm
me.
I'm on the board.
Fruit.
What's his first name?
I gotta.
Where did he grasp Fruit Quan from? What's his birth name?
It's one word, fruit and Quan.
Quantavious?
K-W-O-N.
Quantavious? I bet you.
K-W-A-N.
Yeah,
Quantavious?
Man. How else you spell Quan?
Quan.
Like hit the Quan?
Not that Quan.
Quan.
Oh, yeah, he's got a couple albums. Life, Greatness.
What's his real name? Quan?
You fruit?
Too many. His real name is Arnold Hamilton.
Move on.
Next round. So right now, G got a point. Steve's just happy to be here. Next one.
Participation medal.
Lil Crampy.
Lil Crampy?
Lil Crapper the Rapper.
Is that the full thing?
Or Lil Poopy.
God,
I know a dude named Poopy.
Is he a
rapper? I'm gonna go with Lil Poopy.
I'm gonna go with Lil Poopy.
Correct. Lil Poopy.
Oh man, we both on the board.
Yeah. Lil Poopy.
Both
is
on the board.
Because
I know somebody whose son name is Poopy. And so
God-given name? I mean parents given name? Or are they calling him?
That dude's name is Poopy. We called him Poopy.
Yeah, Lil Poopy got
Call Hank the son name is Poopy.
All right.
But that's all I know him is Poopy.
Last
Lil
one.
Lil Poopy only 13.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. He got a lot of stuff online.
Poopy,
really?
Poopy does. Yes.
Poopy.com?
That's a different website now.
Yeah. if you're into that kind of thing.
Don't do that on the Cut To It podcast. Right. Nah. Last one. DJ Silky Chocolate.
Oh, God.
You made that one up. I could tell by your eyes.
He lit up when he told us that one. I got one.
That's a
DJ Peanut Butter Wolf.
Peanut Butter Wolf?
Peanut butter.
Ava made that one.
Or DJ Smooth Caramel, the light skin player.
Oh, that's real.
That's real.
That's real.
It's Peanut Butter Wolf. Oh. I got y'all with the light skin player. Look, I sold
you,
it.
You knew we were going to take the bait. You tried to suck in the two light skin brothers.
So, Steve thought that was his rap name. He light skin. He's all excited about it.
We felt seen when you said that. When you dropped the light skin,
me. That's my guy.
I feel seen. So, representation matters.
So as I knew we were this upcoming episode, I'm like, what is this?
Backsplash.
I had to throw that out there, man.
That was nasty. All right, who we got?
Coming up on the Cut to It podcast, we've got Mr. Cheeks, co-founder of the legendary hip-hop group Lost Boys. He's also a solo artist with 4 albums of his own, and he's a native of Jamaica, Queens, New York. Mr. Cheeks on the Cut to It podcast.
Cut to it, no question. Appreciate you having your boy, LB, in the building. You know, let's get it.
Let's get it. Hey, man, well, our first segment is called Get Iced Up. It's our version of Icebreakers. We just got to set the scene for you. Right. So there may be follow-ups, there may not be. We're just going to ask you some random questions, just get everything going, get the blood circulation, got to get you iced up. So, Smitty, go ahead and give him the first one.
First rap song, single. You remember when cassettes used to come out? So your first cassette that you purchased or bought at the local barbershop?
First hip-hop cassette I bought, joint I got was Chubb Rock, you know what I'm saying? Chubb Rock was the first influence of, first record I bought, Chubb Rock, she bad. You know that record?
Do it again.
How'd it go? I wasn't expecting.
See that? You know what I'm saying?
All right. So I'm going to tell you on mine.
Go ahead.
3 is the magic number by David Soul.
Okay. No question.
That's the first you bought with your own money?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, remember singles were like 99 cents.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't the first one you heard. It's just the first one you bought with your own money.
I put it in the record player. Okay. I mean, put it in a cassette player. 3 is the
magic. So then the first one I ever bought would have been, first thing I ever bought was Thuggish Ruggish Bone.
Dope.
That was the first one I bought. Man, you already got me reminiscing, man.
All right.
What's already your, got it.
Your favorite TV show? You know, TV is bananas right now. Mm-hmm. So any TV shows you really into right now?
Oh, right now?
Yeah. Right now.
Oh, yeah.
The Blacklist is crazy. I like that.
That's a good one. That is a real good one.
Chicago PD. That's hard.
My wife.
I haven't got into that.
Well, I'm, First 48 all day. Big fan of that. It's crazy. But I love the drama.
On Sunday, about 7 or 8, I like watching Supermarket Sweep.
The new one or the old?
New one. The new one.
You can watch the old one on Netflix. We go 1993's backstage.
The show I'm really digging right now, Life Below Zero.
Oh, yeah, that's hard. I was just looking at this word of my mother. I was checking out this morning. She's going through the ill snowstorm and had to lock all the doors. I was just checking that. That's crazy.
All right, let's go. We're getting sidetracked. Right. What house chores do you hate doing? House chores.
Just cleaning the dishes that they leave in the sink. You know what I mean? That's mainly my beef. Other things ain't nothing. Just cleaning the dishes when I wake up in the morning. I don't want to see all that out there. Well, we got the dishwasher, but you could throw that in there too.
You know what my mommy used to tell me? She was like, we don't need a dishwasher. You is the dishwasher.
Right.
Yeah, that was bad. That's what they did.
All right, last one. What's your hidden talent?
My hidden talent? Yeah. Oh, yeah, breakdancing. Okay, let's go.
Oh, man, you popped
it. I get my dance line. Well, I used to get my dance on heavy, but, I do my regular 2-step now. But back in the days, man, I was on the linoleum and all that. Let's pop. I do headspins. Last time I had a battle with my son, he's 16 now. I battled him in breakdance because he didn't believe it because I showed him B Street. All right? He thought he knew what he was doing. And, the dudes nowadays dance like ladies sometimes. It ain't the same like we used to do. So I'm trying to tell them, listen, this is how we used to do it. Yeah, I mean, but I did a head spin, and you already know. Needed Bengay the whole day, next day, and everything.
You needed Bengay?
I needed icy hot anything.
Hey, well, he didn't, but she's an eight.
I went for the head spinning. I forgot I was over 45. You know? Crazy, man.
Oh, man. He's a legend. You know what? I actually have a Mr. Cheek story.
Okay.
I do. So there's no way he's going to remember this. But back in, I think it had to be 2001.
Uh-huh.
Here in North Carolina.
Okay.
There's a big concert called Super Jams in Greensboro. Mr. Cheeks was the co-headline. This is back during the lights, camera, action stage or whatever. And so I'm 16, maybe.
Uh-oh.
And me and my friends, we out. And in Greensboro, there's this main road called, at that point in time,
it's
it was
only
High
one
Point
main road.
It was called High Point. It was called Gate City.
Okay.
And so people, you know, going back and forth, leaving the Coliseum. And so we just, you know, parking lot, doing what you do, because we can't get in anywhere. We're 16. And so we're sitting there, sitting on top of our cars, watching everyone go by. And a limo pulls up.
Uh-huh.
And the window rolls down.
Uh-oh.
And some stuff roll out. I don't know what it was. I wasn't old enough back then. And everything comes out.
Fog. It was fog.
It was fog.
Because
it was fog.
It was fog.
Yes.
Because it was warm in there. It was warm in there.
Majestic.
Yeah. It was warm. So the fog rolls out. And we see Mr. Cheeks.
Uh-oh.
And we all get excited. It's like four or five of us. So we're like, oh, Mr. Cheeks. So we like, hey, where the party at, Mr. Cheeks? This is Mr. Cheeks' response.
Uh-oh.
Hey, ride up the block, motherfucker. And we all are like, yo, Mr. Cheeks, what's up? What's up with that? And he rolled the window back up and dipped on us. So we're like, come on, man. Like, he didn't even tell us. Well, he just said, ride up the block, motherfucker. So at 16, true story.
Mr. Ride the block,
first interaction. That's exactly what he said.
What?
That is exactly what he said. He said, ride up the block, motherfucker. That roll the window back up on
so
us.
Basically he's trying to tell you, you make your own party.
Come on, come through. We up the block. Come on down.
Right up the block. And we like, yo, he just rolled up the windows. But that is my first interaction with a celebrity, anything like that. Like, that story is etched in my mind. And when we were getting ready for this, like, I'm texting my friends, like, hey, you remember that time we saw Mr. Cheeks and he rolled the window down? Everyone died laughing. Yes. So that was my first interaction. Hey, it was funny though. So this is a full circle moment.
That's
pretty
cool.
This is really cool.
Well, that's how I got my first start in the game too. MC Shane gave me one of those. I made my way into the Lemoore East. You know what I'm saying? Down back in the days, back when it was like 87. Oh. When MC Shan, Down by Law, all that.
Yeah, De La Soul was just popping off on that.
All of that world, man. You know what I'm saying? So I went there and I went just to see MC Shan. I asked for an autograph. And they're like, get out of here, nigga. Not MC Shan, but fucking let's go. You know what I mean? But I just knew hip hop was real right there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Good stories.
All right, cool. So let's get into it. You know, you already said it, but I love to always ask. We always start off with this. And where are you from? Your place you call your hometown.
No doubt. My hometown is South Jamaica, Queens. Salvo Zone Park, 132nd Street, 115th Avenue. No doubt about it. Shouts to the Kellys and all of that. You know what I'm saying? My grandfather, my grandmother. Well, they came from New Orleans, baby. You know what I'm saying? Oh, how we got to New York is a long story, but I could break it down. Grandpa slapped the white lady and got us out of town. A bing.
Yeah,
that'll get you up out of town, especially back then.
That'll make it relocate.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No matter what time.
It don't matter
what time of year.
That's the great
time,
migration right there.
Yeah, that's run for your life right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Established in Queens, New York. Had a few beauty salons out in Brooklyn, Red Hook, Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? And my grandfather and grandmother had 9 kids, 7 girls, 2 boys. You know what I mean? And my mom's is Diane. Mm-hmm. And she raised me as a single mom's, of course. Well, not of course, but, you know, it came to be like that, you know? And she was hardworking, held us down. I got 1 sister, 3 brothers, you know? And I'm a grandpops and all of that. You know, I got 2 grandkids and all of that. So, I'm just from South Jamaica, Queens. I made my mark in the game with the Lost Boys. I'm the lead artist of the hip hop group Lost Boys. You know what I'm saying? We got some joints on our belt, from Music Made Me High to Clap Your Hands to like Renee.
Yeah.
Lex Cool's Beamers and Benz, you know?
Yeah.
Lights, Camera, Action. I got a few joints under my belt. And yeah, I represent South Jamaica, Queens all day, every day.
We have to take a break, and more than anything, we got to pay some bills.
Mm-hmm. Need that check.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. Cuttoitpodcast.com.
So growing up in Jamaica, Queens, I mean, it's kind of a loaded question, but I'll ask it. Because
yeah.
I grew up in L.A. I'm from L.A., and it's helped me and hurt me at times, depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. So how did growing up in Jamaica, Queens help you and hurt you as a kid?
Because
you're a grandfather now, so you wisdom. You're long in the tooth.
Oh, yeah, Queens helped me. And, well, like you say, like, I'm from Queens, so it wasn't like, it wasn't really major, like, in the music, well, in the music game and hip-hop game and things like that. So, like, LL Cool J, Frickin' Frack, and, you know, Mikey D and things like that. Well, I'm just thinking of people off the top of my neighborhood and things that made Queens, made me want to be a rapper from Queens, because Queens is always getting shit on, though, right? So being from Queens has made me strong as far as, like, let's get at it. You know what I'm saying? As far as, like, yo, hold up. There ain't nothing sweet about Queens, let's say Queens, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing. We go through some tough times too, just like any other borough, any other state, anywhere. You know what I'm saying? In the hood. And we just that just made us want to be like that, though. You know what I'm saying? Just the not disrespect, but not the really respect we needed. Like, so we had to make our own way. And being from Queens made you want to do that anywhere you go. You know what I'm saying? You from Queens, you go to Harlem, you go to the Brooklyn, you go to the Bronx, you got to show yours and something pop off. You know what I'm saying? Niggas like some niggas from Queens. But we came in the game and we earned our keep from all of that. And that's just what it was. Like Lost Boys, before we was rappers, you know what I'm saying? We had to scuffle our way into the game or the streets and make our name known. You know what I'm saying? We used to just want to rap and shit like that and earn our keep. So whatever it took to do that, we did that. So
it's interesting playing in sports, you know, there's summer camps, there's high school, JV, right? There's Little League, Pop Warner, you get coached. Mm-hmm. There is no farm system in rap. There is no pop.
There's no developmental league.
There's no developmental. There's no, like, you know, hey, I'm going to sign up Lil Gerard on how to be how to be a rapper.
The rap game ain't got an AAU.
Right?
Right, no doubt. Yeah,
what was the process like for you individually? Because everybody has a different story.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. It's like this. I was in high school. I was in John Adams High School playing for the junior varsity football team. Me and my brother Hassan.
What position did you play?
I was running back, kid.
You had the footwork?
I was on them, baby. Yeah. I scored the first touchdown, John Adams High School, back in the 86 or something like that.
What was it? Was it a tall sweep?
Yeah. I don't know. I really know the plays. My brother used to be the halfback. So he used to pile them over, knock them down for a boy. I was like, hey. Just doing it, man. But it was one night I caught that concussion, it was over. Forget it.
You beat me to it. You beat me.
Because notice he said I was JV. He didn't say nothing about varsity.
I don't know. Bayside. If you know about New York football, Bayside High School was damn. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And them niggas came over there and showed me some work. I was like, oh shit.
Not them smooth out of football.
That's what made me want to rap though. I was like, dumb years. I was like, it was like Heavy D and the Boys, Salt and Pepper. Oh man, that's what you want to make you rap, because they was little. You remember Salt and Pepper came through with that red BMW and all of that.
Yeah.
I was like, I just wanted to be a part of that world. Oh. So like you say, it wasn't no school for that. So, but we had arenas we had to go to. You had to go to the park jams, you know what I'm saying? The block parties. You had to go to the battles with Grandmaster Vic and like Spank G, you know what I'm saying? They was doing, you know, the park jams and shit. So they give you the mic. If you was hot enough, they give you the mic. And from this day on, word of mother, you know, Fredro Starr, Onyx.
Yeah.
That's my main man. We grew up, we was the niggas in Queens. We was the niggas that was holding it down. And another dude from our hood named P.I., legendary. But that's where I got it from, man. Going to school and after the holidays, you know, Rakim and Big Daddy Kane would come out with a record. And then Queens niggas would compare, you know, Rakim ain't even from Queens, but Queens niggas thought he was Queens nigga. Let's go. But that's how hard he was. So we would compare Rakim to Kane and all of that came about. But, you know, just putting your wordplay together from a kid. LL Cool J, I'm bad and all of that. Like, you wanted to, I learned that. Like, I just wanted to learn, write, be the illest writer or the illest lyricist or whatever that I could, but you know what I'm saying? That's where it came about. That's the school you go to. You go to different jams, like the Gavin out in New Orleans, How Can I Be Down out in Atlanta. You know, it's a bunch of things that all the rappers go to, the conventions and all of that. That's how I did it, though.
With all of that going on, as you are moving up in the battle game and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You Mr. Cheeks, the Lost Boys, but I want to know, what were some of the names that never made the menu when y'all were thinking about your names? Like Lost Boys, Mr. Cheeks.
How did the Lost Boys come about?
Yeah, how did the Lost Boys come about? And what were some of the failed names that y'all were like, nah, we can't have that name?
Oh, we didn't really have too many failed names. We just grew up out of the names, really. Yeah. We had, I tell you, from In a Nigga, who's In a Nigga, because it was In a Nigga. You know what I mean? That's In a Nigga. We was a Stay Fresh crew. You know what I'm saying? But when we seen the movie The Lost Boys, that's what we thought he was. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We was running around the hood like them niggas on the bike, stealing cars, doing crazy. younger times, younger days, you know? having fun, you know?
Don't incriminate yourself on this recording line.
Nah.
This is a no indictment podcast. This is a no indictment.
Yeah, no indictment podcast. You're doing cards. Door checks and all of that. Oh, man. But nah, we used to watch the movie a lot and we used to feel like them niggas. And we saw, you know, just running around smoking weed as we was making music. Yeah. So it was like, yo, we kind of like the white, like the Lost Boys, the white dudes, but we not know, you know, no vampires, but we come in late at night. We don't like when the sun is on our crazy, just young dudes bugging, right? But we threw the Z from the, we put the LOSTBOYZ because the Z meant the zone we was always in. We was always in channel zero and, you know, and our vibes. Well, that's our own where we used to be in the back streets, getting our music together. When we came from like summer school and all of that. It was a crazy time. So that's what we got. Really got it from the Lost Boys. We just put that Z on the back of that S and just made it run. And we did it. We had beef over that name with dudes in the Bronx and all that for the Lost Boys.
Really?
Came out standing, hard body. No doubt. Lost Boys around the world, but you know, we had to definitely go hard to keep that name and be what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all had to claim it. And your influence on the rap game is, do you feel like sometimes it gets overlooked?
Hell yeah. You already know I get mad at niggas. I be like, yo, hold up. I be seeing mad hip hop joints. They don't never throw no Lost Boy. And I'm like, yo, hold on. What's going on here? We ain't made no bangers? We ain't got a catalog? I know it's a lot of people that be giving up mad props to dudes that like got three records. What up, right? Yeah. This dude, they be saluting these dudes like they made joints. Yo, I'm like, yo, hold on. Can we still banging out every day, man? Stop playing. But you know, I ain't got no problem with it, but I'm just saying they will notice. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm still at it. That's why I think I'm still doing what I'm doing. So I'm still on the cut to it, do it. Now I'm right here.
Definitely you here. But I find it fascinating because you mentioned a lot, like the park jams, all of these things that were essential to the essence of hip hop as it grew. And you were right there in the middle of it. Word. Your uncle is also Gil Scott Heron.
Gil Scott Heron, no doubt.
Talk a little bit about his influence to you and you just kind of being up under his leadership and his guidance.
Oh, you know, just being around Uncle was ill, you know, before he do his shows and things like that. When he come, I go to the crib, helping him move from just growing up hearing his music, going to his performances as a youngster, you know, just helped me even more influence of my musical talents, I guess, you know. I used to sing and all that, but I'm not saying I used to sing. I'm saying I used to background sing for my cousins and them. And, you know, when New Edition came out, you know, everybody wanted to be a group, right? So that's really like where it all started. But Uncle always held it down, you know what I'm saying? Uncle Gil Scott, hard body, man, mad. I mean, he had his things going on with him and all of that, but he was definitely a talented man and a great musician, great artist, man, you know? And I just fed off for that, really, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it's just in me, man. Shout out to Uncle Gil. If you get a chance, check him out on Prime. He got the new joint Black Wax. If you never seen that, check that out. No doubt. But yeah, he was just what it is, man. You know what I'm saying? A good influence, man.
How hard was it for you, you know, to get in and get signed by a rap label?
Everybody's fire.
Yes.
Everybody's a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, then back then when it's not, I'm sure we'll get to this later, but it wasn't as accessible, right? Like everyone, you got SoundCloud, you got Instagram, you got all these different things, but yeah, to Steve's point, how were you able to obtain a recording contract back then?
Oh man, it took grit and your talent and took your confidence, man. Like back in the days, man, we used to go to like, it wasn't just me, Lost Boys, right? Yeah, Red Man, you had all, Keith Murray, all of us was going at it. So with all that talent in the game, nobody sounding the same. There's different flavors everywhere you look. It's different niggas rapping about different things and different from PM Dawn to, like you say, Daz Effects, Tribe Called Quest. It was mad different things popping. You got you got the gangster shit out in L.A. where you was at NWA. Come on, man. Yeah. 100 miles and running. Listen, man. This shit is real. Hip hop music is just so influential. You know what I'm saying? It just made me just I'm happy I'm be a part of this. You know what I'm saying? It's more than just rapping about, you know, the struggles and all. Like you said, you can talk about your lady, you can talk about politics, you talk about anything in the rap game. I mean, when you take your time out and really write music, it's different. Like anybody, like you say, anybody can rap, but it's like, yo, when you really put your pen down on the paper and really think about, or you know, say write down what's really like. I don't know, man. I'm different. I don't freestyle when I rap. I don't freestyle an album. I put my pen to the paper, so I'm used to that. And being back in the days, man, that's what you had to do though. Like, you know, you had to have skills. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying the game changed like that, but it's like, yeah, it's more opportunities.
I gotta ask.
Yeah.
The game. Like, listen to you. You had Lights, Camera, Action. You had Renee. But in between the chorus was actual words.
Lyricism.
Lyrics.
Okay. Yeah.
Now you listen to music, the whole song is chorus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not putting you on the spot of, you know, downplaying the
one
current
versus the other.
Versus.
No question.
But listening to rap now, some artists, you can't tell between the chorus,
the hook,
the bridge, I can't separate it.
Yeah.
It's like it's all the same.
Nah, you 100% right.
Right, it's all like through the whole song. Yeah.
It's not even a real 16 bars.
No, it's like two bars.
Yeah.
It's like the game got like, remember we used to have three verses in your records?
Yeah.
They don't do that no more. Niggas try to get away with one verse and slide off. And it's like, what happened?
You know what I'm saying? They're successfully doing it.
They're winning.
Yeah.
They winning. Because niggas ain't got time to re-listen to the whole stories no more. Niggas is just... Niggas like this now. Niggas want the bag. Niggas want everything so fast. Niggas forgot about what it is, though. Like, the game then changed so far that they fed these niggas, or they fed artists like, it's all about... The radio stations don't even give you, you know? How you gonna wake up to them and take your kid to school or whatever, and you hear a nigga talking about... I don't even know. I don't want to throw it out, because I don't be really... I be hearing the records. I'm like, this shit on the radio? y'all playing.
We have the same reaction.
This is my titty bar joint. What they doing, man? It's 8 o'clock, but nah. But it's different in the game.
Eight o'clock in the morning, they talking about.
Right.
That's what that ball give me. I'm like, yo, let's go. But it's just different, man. The game is not the same, man. I mean, a lot of people that used to really care about the game, the execs and all of that, they don't care no more. They care about YouTube likes and all of that. It's not really, it's not even about like talent no more. It's about likes and shit. Like the chick that glued her hair. If this bitch come out with a record, y'all niggas get out my face, man. I ain't doing it. If these niggas get this bitch that got the gorilla glue tapped to the head, y'all wildin', man. That's how easy it is, man. Back in the days, we had to work for what we made, man. We had to work for, like right now, I worked for talking with y'all right now. I put my first record out in 1995. That's 2021. I'm talking to motherfucking Steve Smith, nigga. You understand? I'm a big fan. You already know that. You know what I'm saying? Man, love to the fan. Shout out to G. I'm with y'all, man.
Whatever.
I'm cutting to it in 2021.
I think if what you're saying is it's the longevity, right? Like the
guys
like Jay is rapping. Nas is still rapping. They have longevity. They still have the storytelling. They still have the history and paying homage to the game. Yeah. Right now, I hear exactly what you're saying, though. The point is, people are just taking advantage of that 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah. Hey, I ain't mad at it.
Microwave generation.
Hot pocket generation, nigga.
Instant noodles.
Yeah.
Cup of noodles. But here's the thing, though. Then they get, and I'm not going to name a person, but they take 4 years and they save up. And they take all their money and they get a diamond impressed in their forehead.
Oh, man.
We just going
some real different shit.
He had to
take it. It's different, right? Yeah. It's different. Huh? It's different. It's different. It's different. Yeah. Every time I see the homeboy with that in his head, man, I think about, you know, my man from the superhero shit. Nigga pulled that shit out of his head. Like,
the Avengers.
Yeah.
Avengers. Yeah. Like, yo, this nigga got the Avengers. Got the Avenger joint in his head. That's crazy. Niggas is putting Avenger joints in their heads. It's cool. Fuck it. I'm just rock these gold teeth, man. Smoke this weed.
The moral of that story is stick your own lane.
Oh man, yeah. Niggas is rock stars. You gotta remember now.
What happened to music videos? Man, I grew up watching Jukebox.
Oh man, or the Basement.
Yeah.
Yo MTV Jams.
Yeah. Why are music videos gone?
Where them shows at, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know what those shows are either, but why you used to make a song, when you did a song, you had to follow up with a music video.
Yeah,
facts.
Because if your music video, sometimes a music video would show your actual song. That's how people
consumed it.
Yeah.
The visual.
Visual.
Yeah.
Like, so how has it, I mean, if you don't mind breaking it down, like just really,
how the game has changed.
The money. Like, because everyone thinks every rapper that has made it has that bag. And right. That's the case. There's a lot. I mean, you look at Toni Braxton, you look at some of these artists who have had multiple albums who've later come out and they say, hey,
I had a bad contract.
Or the deal was not what I thought it was. Yeah. Then you hear they weren't getting the bag. Yeah, and you hear some people they talking about how, you know, going on tours the way you make your money. I just want to know, like, how is it changing? How, you know, for the good and the bad, and why is all this stuff? Everybody think like football. There's 53 guys on the roster,
right?
But there are really only about 12 guys making buku. Mm-hmm. Then the other 40-something of them, they doing all right. You know, they're doctors and lawyers, but they aren't
right
multimillionaires that people assume they are.
Mm-hmm. It's a different game, brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we was in the game, we had to go to labels and get deals and fight for it, and, you know. Now, like I said, it's like it is giving out the money right now. Whatever sticks to the wall, bang, you know? That's what I look at. I ain't even mad at saying that shit.
No, but no, but when you say they giving money, you know, not,
giving money away.
Not using yourself as the example, but.
Now you can use me as an example.
I'm saying.
I made bad mistakes.
No, I'm just talking about as far as. Like you saying they're giving money away? What's a lucrative deal that you're hearing that's out there?
Oh, they lucrative deals. They got the 360s going on. You feel me?
No, I don't know what.
Wait, 360. Yeah, explain to us what a 360 deal is.
You asked me, and I'm feeling you. They're
taking all your show money. They're giving you the biggest shows because they're taking some of that money. I mean, it's just what it is. They give you budgets because they're getting their money at the see what the records do. You know, like it always been. But I really ain't been in the industry, so I ain't really been in the game. I got my own label and all that. I know my own little routes that I'm taking the way to sell records and all of that. So how can I explain? I really, like, when they giving out these deals now, it's 360. When they say 360, like I said, they taking most of the. It's really, like, not your career.
They take like everything.
They take it. When you do shows, you don't give your label the money. You know what I'm saying? When you sell the merchandise, you don't get your label. The label don't get that money.
Yours.
That's supposed to be you all day. Like, but now they got the, like I said, might have to talk to somebody else that know about the really 360. But like I said, I ain't been in the game in about what? The industry. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I've been in my own runs, doing my own thing, my own still popping, but it ain't really like with a label and all of that. So with my own label and my own, you know, my own backing since when we was doing it. So, but it's just like, yo, the game is just mad different right now. I can't really explain it because I ain't really playing that game with them no more, you know? But like I said,
would you say that guys are in the rap game right now, not everybody, you know, we're not talking about the Drakes, we're not talking about the Kendrick Lamars, mm-hmm. We're not talking about the big guys, we're talking about the middle of the road guys.
Right.
They looking apart, but it doesn't always equal up to the part.
Facts. A lot of lying going on, a lot of front, a lot of bullshit, a lot of clout chasing. We get it. But sometimes you got to fake it to make it, you know?
I think it's about that time. Just take a little breather.
Cut through it. Let's get down to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from cuttoitpodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's so much music out there.
Yeah.
It's really hard to know who's successful and who's not.
And I was going to say, now the way that you consume and the way that it's put out, like this, the whole streaming platforms, it's a lot to choose from. But then I think also what both of y'all are saying is it seems like that's changed the game too. Like the
streaming be good or bad for the music industry?
Like you said, it's like it's both ways, man. You know, it's good. That's good for me. I'm old school, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I tell you,
check.
Sony, they got the iTunes, they got the Spotify. You know, we use all of that. But yeah, I guess it's good. But then it's also bad because, goddamn, man, you get anybody could sell a record, kid. You know, I don't know, man. I ain't no real like music nigga that be hating on niggas' music.
No, I'm just asking. I'm asking because just going back in the day. First of all, get popped upside the head if you order more than one jukebox.
Was that like the mail thing?
No, jukebox was
like
back in the
days for
back in the day, jukebox for Cali dudes was you watch television and you can for 99 cent or $2.99 if it was a feature, you call in and you request
the box.
Yeah.
That music video or that song.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yep.
And that's how they do it. Now with streaming.
Mm-hmm.
You just
on your phone. Yeah.
You just download it.
Right.
You pay.
It's already there.
You pay $19.99 or whatever the case may be, and you can download
whatever
you want. Yeah. And if it's a feature, and it just comes out, you can download it early.
Yeah.
You know, pay for it. And I just see that things are different.
Mm-hmm. That's
very
and
different.
So being an old school cat, you that have had number of records, when somebody downloads it, yours, you get the residual, mm-hmm. but
you capture, back in the day, you were able to capture that information.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Now,
right.
It seems like it's harder to understand how they capture it.
Oh, yeah. Because there's a lot of wiggle room.
It's
yeah.
so much. With that $20 a month, I could download as much as I want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got Peloton, yeah. right? I get on a Peloton, I'm running yeah. the whatever.
Right.
Right?
No doubt.
It just seems as music has still stayed the same with expression.
Yeah.
The way you can consume it
yeah.
around the world is different.
Right.
Hell yeah.
It's all the streams, man. And the question becomes, what is the cost of a stream? And that's an open-ended question, but yeah. it goes back to, from an artist perspective, like Mr. Cheeks is talking about, like, I'm sure you knew back in the day, all right, I'm selling the CD, I get a cut of the CD. But now it is very different in the means of the streaming has just changed the way that people consume and the way that people purchase.
I just remember, like, when you could buy an album, really enjoy an album. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? No fat, you don't fast forward no records.
Uh-uh, man.
No.
Remember those days? It's a
lost art form too.
Yeah.
It's a lost, it's a lot lost, man. But it's still out there though. Don't get it twisted, cuz there's some good artists that still got albums out. Like, you know, Sheik Loon got a new album out. Sheik Loon. Royal Flush has got his 25th anniversary. Underground shit I love so much. You know what I'm saying? I just want to shout that out, shout those out.
Is underground still is prominent as it is.
Hip hop is coming back, man. I mean, like, you know, it's every time. It's like a circle of things that go down.
Yeah.
And the boom bap is on his way back. The boom bap is on his
heavy
way back.
Heavy air stuff, yeah.
Yo, check this out. My man, you know, Brucey B. Yeah, the original, you know, from Wild Style and all that. Mm-hmm. Brucey B. I mean, not Brucey B, Busy B.
Yeah.
It's cool, Busy B. He got a record out right now that they ain't really paying attention to it, but it's so hard. You know what I'm saying? It's like we don't really pay attention to like, you know, saying music like we used to, because it's not really out there for us to get or to hear, because they're so flooded with everything else right now. You know what I'm saying? It's like
very cool.
Took away from the real the classic ways of making music and really putting in that work and them tracks from Pete Rock, and you know what I'm saying? Like, oh man, oh shit. But I don't mean to jump off the course, but yeah. I miss music like that, and it's on its way back, though. Trust me, man. I mean, like
when you were growing up, talking about music on its way back, how thick and legitimate was the East Coast versus West Coast beef?
How thick was it?
Yeah, because you know sometimes people be like, it wasn't legit. It was just all for.
How authentic was?
Yes, it was just all for. It was all for show.
It wasn't all for show because two niggas died, right? Nah, yeah. Man, that shit wasn't no show. Shit was real.
Yeah.
But it was a real beef. I mean, it wasn't really like no really our beef. I mean, but we was back in Biggie because he was on the East Coast and the niggas that was with Tupac was back in Pac over there. I mean, but you know, let me tell you the beautiful thing about that East Coast, West Coast beef. Me and the motherfucking Dog Pound shot Music Made Me High remix out in L.A., together, East Coast, West Coast, while that beef was going on. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't really like, it was like Diddy and Shug shit, nigga. And a lot of people got caught between that shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not saying it like that, but I'm saying it. Like,
yeah.
But you're saying it.
That's what life was, man. It's a lot of other shit. Not the main characters. Biggie and Tupac beef. They had the music going on, but other elements came about, you know?
But it seemed like because of the beef, that the realness and the hard work, East Coast tried to outwork West Coast. West Coast tried to outwork.
Oh yeah, yeah. East Coast. Yeah.
The music was so direct,
yeah,
but also so original, so creative. Because whatever you came out with, that side of the coast had to come back.
Yeah, they had to come back with something
with
else.
More substance.
And then it birthed more, because like Mr. Cheeks is saying too, like. Think they were able to merge them and the Dog Pound were able to merge, and then later on, then you got the South rising up, right? Like you got Outkast came into the fold.
Right.
So even having that, but still you were able to birth other projects and other places from the country, able mm-hmm. to bring about good music as well.
That's a fact.
You know, we're gonna do one that we love called Deep Three, man, and just
is, you know, just about you and the inner perspective. What advice would you give a young rapper starting out today?
Stay original, man. Be original in the game. You know what I'm saying? I mean, go your own way, man. And don't get distracted, traps, because the game is crazy. You might get distracted. Don't get distracted at all, okay? Just keep following and going for what you believe in. And you know what I'm saying? What you want to do is what you, you know what I'm saying? That's whatever fits your way of life and where you want to carry on through your journey. You know what I'm saying? But definitely don't get distracted and stay original. Keep that fire in you, man. Go hard. That's bottom line. Like, a lot of people don't know. It took us 10 years to make that one record, Lifestyles of the Rich and Shameless. So, I mean, we was doing that. We was making records. We was making records since, like, what, 87? So, you know, things is, we developed into becoming the Lost Boys in 1995. And this, we went hard and got that album deal. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we was working our way up there. And it took us 10 years to get established and go and bang out with Tim Dog and them and get a record deal to make one record from 86 to 87 and shit like that. We started making music at what, 15 years old? Yeah, so it just took us a while to get to where we wanted to be. So never give up type shit. You know what I'm saying? You got to go through it to get to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So if you hadn't become a rapper, what would you have done?
Oh man, I'll probably be playing ball, basketball. That is
not football. Not football.
Nah, not football.
Right, we knew that.
I got up early, like yo, no way, buddy.
So you hooped?
Yeah, I hoop all day.
Okay.
I still hoop, man. What you mean, man? Yo, when you get back and the COVID is over, I'll meet y'all down there.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't come out here in no Chucks. You better come in some real basketball shoes.
Well, I'm coming out with the Air Force Ones, high tops. Right.
This is North Carolina. This is Tobacco Road. We
I'm
can
come with the Rasheed Wallace's, baby.
Ooh, okay.
I know what you're saying.
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, because my son is getting taller than me. Uh-huh. And I told him this morning, he did something. I was in the pantry.
He tried to dunk on you.
He tried to dunk on you. I tell you, look, I ain't gonna low bridge you.
But I'm going to tackle you.
But you ain't dunking on me.
You better know it. I ain't dunking on nobody either.
Hey, Mr. Cheeks, and I know you're a grandpa. Come your little skinny ass try to dunk on me. You better put in a mouthpiece, take out some golds.
Now, I'm hitting them threes from the key. Yeah,
in other words.
I'm doing the light do. It's like that.
Okay. In other words, he don't want no smoke. Oh, yeah. He ain't trying to ice up.
Yo, Steve, you remind me of cousin Steve Marley, nigga. I know them. He's not letting you do nothing on him, boy.
So you can go run and tell everybody?
Right.
No, you not doing nothing on nobody. I understand. That's why I take it from over here and bing, bing. I shoot the lights out now.
Oh. Okay.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Mr. Cheese got range.
Yeah.
You already know.
Our last one, man, is more of anything is less of a question. I can tell you this, and I told you when I was on your show, but man, I grew up listening to your songs,
yes,
man.
Sir.
And Renee was one of those songs, man, that I just remember, and it just growing up on the West Coast, there was this West Coast feel. You weren't really allowed to really like other folks' stuff on the East Coast, man. But Renee was one of those things.
That song meant something. Man, you can tell.
That song meant something. Yeah. And it was really cool, man. And I just want to thank you. Because when you look at a rap game, you look at some of the stuff that's out there, man, it is hard to listen to.
Very much so. And man, very much so.
It's sometimes you'll find yourself saying some stuff, or you find yourself thinking, you're like, man, I question where this is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was coming from a place, and a lot of your music come from a place of where you were in life, but then also what you experienced.
Yep.
No doubt.
You experienced a loss, you experienced love, you experienced a relationship, man. And that's what music really is about when you break it down. It goes back into experiences, and you gave us a peek into the window of your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you, man.
You know, so I just want to tell you, man, for me, growing up and being able to do this podcast and talk to current players and entertainers, but also being able to talk to the
right.
Yeah. It's an honor and a privilege. Absolutely. And it's respect.
Facts, man. It's all love, man. It's all a blessing, man. We keep it like this, it's going to just be, it changed the whole game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate that I can write music for us. You know what I'm saying? I ain't just write that for me, man. It's definitely, when I write my music, I'm writing it for every brother. If you rocking with me, well, if you're not, you know what I'm saying? I know some people that have been through what I've been through. So I definitely try to put that into my music all day, every day. You know what I'm saying? So I write for us, brother. I write for us. You know what I'm saying?
Who was the most important artist to you growing up in L.A.?
Man, just thinking about it. You look back, obviously, Tupac, Ice Cube, Dr. Dre. Like, just, you know, I think growing up around that time, you always looking for something or grasping for something. I think, you know, sports celebrities, entertainers, music. I think music, especially for young men, I think it's easier to relate to, especially back in the day, because of the music videos, the glitz and the glamour. I think music has changed. So I don't really see music the same way today that I used to see it. So I think music back when I was a kid, back in the 80s and 90s, impacted you so differently.
It made, for me, I agree with everything you said 100%.
Yeah, what about you?
For me, I love music, specifically hip-hop. It always made a very big world seem smaller. Mm. It allowed me, living in North Carolina, to hear West Coast stuff like The Chronic, to hear N.W.A., to hear even bumping up a little bit more, the Game, like all these different artists. It gave you an experience outside of what you know, outside of your own habitat. So for me, it's big because it always gave kind of that mark in time. Like, you remember, I remember when Lights, Camera, Action by Mr. Cheeks came out. That was 2001. Like, I remember that stuff. It very much points to a moment in time. But just having an artist like him, it was so amazing. And we're planning to have a lot more artists on the show. What role did music play in your life?
Music has played a huge role, especially as an athlete, because it gives you an opportunity to kind of zone out, zone in, check in. Music, there's old school music, man. When I play it in the car, bro, I could just remember.
Takes you back,
bro. I can remember like a Lauryn Hill, the Fugees. Listen to them.
Like, as you say that, I remember when I was listening to that or when it first came
bro,
out.
Bro, I can remember.
I was in fourth grade when The Score came out.
How about this, though? I can remember sitting at home with an NFL football somebody gave me and having my radio, listening to Theo, right, with that dark, that deep voice, who was an Asian guy, right, that nobody knew. That was a big thing back then back home. Big Boy, Power 106, or, you know, Power 98. And just remember, and I can sit back and remember, we were at 21-29 and a half Cambridge Way. And I can remember sitting there in the living room and some of my playing in the playoffs and losing, and I had some of my articles. And I remember tattooing drawing a Superman S on my picture. And we had wood paneling, and we had bunk beds.
Yeah.
And I can remember sitting in the house, in my room, daydreaming about catching a football, daydreaming about playing in the NFL. Also practicing nutcrackers, trying to get faster on my feet. And I just remember trying to be here.
Yeah.
Trying to be where I am today.
All right. But that music was the soundtrack behind
it. Oh, that music allow me to daydream.
Yeah, man. Right? I'm with you.
And when I hear that music, it reminds me. And then it makes me kind of fast forward to where sometimes, and I read this, and it really puts it in perspective for me, is there is a basket of fresh bread on your head, and yet we go door to door asking for crust. Mm. I remember when I had crossed and I was asking for bread.
Yeah.
And yet now I'm 40, I'll be 42 this year, and how I have bread. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I forgot I used to beg for crust. Mm. That music is a great reminder. Mr. Mm-hmm. Cheeks was a great reminder, man.
Yeah, he was.
Just got to be grateful for today. You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut To It.
Cut To It with Steve Smith Sr., that is me, is a production of Cut To It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut To It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut To It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Labreck, production manager Sarah Pollock, theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
You know it's on.
It's on.